Welcome to Running on Carbs podcast. I'm Coach Val, a wife, empty nester mom, and executive level professional. I picked up running later in life as a way to burn off excess energy after moving to a plant-based diet in 2017, running my first marathon at age 47 and entirely fueled by plants. Now, I help other driven women to achieve their own running goals while starting or refining their plant-based way of eating. We all have busy lives, so this podcast is here to break it all down in easy, everyday, stress-free language that delivers the practical tips you need to power your runs and inspire your mind. Whether you love the discipline of training for races or simply running for fitness, you'll find everything you need to run your best life on carbs right here. So in keeping with my promise of efficiency, let's get started. Hi, and welcome to Running on Carbs podcast. I am Coach Val. I am your host today, and this is episode 6 of the Running on Carbs podcast. Today, we are going to talk about introverted running. Specifically, I titled this episode after my favorite mug. So my favorite mug, if you're on YouTube, I will show you. It's piping hot. I just put tea in it, but it says, introverted, but willing to discuss running. I call this my favorite mug, but truly it's like my favorite mug and my most hated mug because the story behind the mug, I'll tell you really quick. The story behind the mug is that I found it on Amazon and I was so excited. I'm like, I was specifically looking for this mug and I was shocked to actually find a mug that said this thing. I've seen it on shirts before, but never on a mug. So I found it. I'm so excited. The mug was like $20, which is a lot of money for a mug, but I really wanted the mug. So I bought it. It took them over a month to send it to me because apparently it's custom printed. I get the mug. I'm super excited. I pull it out of the box. I'm like, oh yeah, look, you know, I got my mug. I'm so excited. And I used it a couple times. And then one day, I mean, maybe I had it for a week or so, and I took it out of the dishwasher and I looked at it and I noticed, if you're on YouTube, I'm going to show you, I noticed there was something wrong with the printing on the mug. It's missing the first letter of every word on the mug. And I'm like, wait a minute, I've never noticed that before. So I turned it around and I'm like, wait, it's properly printed on that side. It's misprinted on the second side. I was so disappointed. So I contact the company through Amazon, and Amazon's, you know, they're not going to help me because apparently it's a private seller. So they kept pushing me to contact the seller. So I contact the seller and they answer me back right away. I'm like, hey, I want another, you know, mug, please. It's misprinted, because they said, do you want a refund or you want another mug? I said, I want another mug. Okay. And then I hear nothing. I don't get a confirmation. I don't get another, you know, message. I don't get any way to actually get the mug. So I think, okay, they're going to send it to me. So another month and a half goes by, reach out again. They don't respond. I go through this for like 3-4 months, something like that, back and forth with no response. I finally just gave up on the stupid mug. I mean, they just totally ghosted me. Every once in a while, they'll reach back out if I send a message and they'll do the same song and dance. And I'll say, I want another mug. And then they go dark. It's like, why is it so hard to send me another mug? It doesn't cost them $20. It costed me $20. But so anyway, that's why it's one of my favorite mugs and also my least favorite mug, because I have that annoying story of a misprint and no help. So anyway, customer service, people, customer service. It's very important. But anyway, so I'm drinking out of my favorite, least favorite mug today, because we are talking about introverted running today. And I myself identify as an introverted runner. I have always been somewhat of an introvert, just kind of part of my nature. And it turns out that that's pretty common, that you're either an introvert or an extrovert. However, both people will have a bit of qualities of a little of each. So like in certain circumstances, you might be introverted, whereas in other circumstances, you might have a little more extroverted qualities about you. So what I did was I went out to the good old internet and I did a little research because I was curious, you know, what are the differences between introverts and extroverts? And how does that relate to running? Because so many runners are either one or the other. You know, they like to be solo runners or they like to be group runners. And it's definitely something I've noticed. And usually when you talk to one group or the other, or person who, you know, prefers one type of running over the other, they're pretty secure in their decision and like their why for why they do one or the other. And they don't often cross over to the other realm. But I think there's a lot of value in doing a little of both. And so I want to talk to the introverts today about why building community as an introverted runner is still vitally important to your running. So I do have a little presentation with slides. If you want to go to YouTube and follow along a little bit, you're welcome to do that, but you don't have to. I'm going to talk you through it on the podcast. Okay, so what is an introverted running? This is where I did my internet research. So I went out to WebMD specifically and a couple other places, but went to WebMD and here's what they said. Not all or nothing personality, like we were just talking about. So you're not always an introvert or always an extrovert in every situation that you have or that you're in. So sometimes you might be more introverted. So let's say you go to a large party, there's lots of people, big gathering, maybe it's kind of a formal event. You don't know a lot of people, might be a little more introverted in that environment. You might pick one or two people to talk to in a small group. Whereas an extrovert, you know, they're going to be smack dab in the middle of it all. They're going to be the boisterous one, the loud one, the one that you know is talking and have a great time from across the room. Whereas if you are an introvert in that smaller setting, or if you go to a friend's house and there's maybe just a small gathering, you're much more extroverted. Maybe you're the life of the party in that environment because you know everyone, you're comfortable, you have things in common. So a little different in each environment. There's a scale of degrees where you can have some extroverted and introverted qualities. So the four types of introverts they talk about are social introverts, and those are the ones that are like your classic type. So they like the small groups, the quiet settings over the crowds. Thinking introverts, and those are people who are the daydreamers. They spend a lot of time in their heads. They're very creative imaginations. These are like your creative CEOs, I think. The anxious introverts, they seek out alone time, not just because they like it, but also because they just feel awkward around groups or around other people. And then the restrained or inhibited introvert, they're very thoughtful. They're not going to make quick decisions without thinking. They're going to really think before they make any actions. And so again, this can change over time. So if you were maybe more one type when you were younger, and now as you've gotten older, you've been in different situations. Now maybe you've come out of your shell a little bit more and you're willing to be in more social situations than maybe when you were younger. So what makes an introvert? An introvert, An introvert reacts differently to dopamine. So a dopamine is a neurotransmitter in our brain. It's the reward neurotransmitter, the one that makes us feel rewarded for either situations or food or any input into our bodies or our environment. And in an introverted brain, the introvert gets tired from dopamine hits, whereas extroverts, they get excited by it. So I know in my situation, if I'm around a lot of people for a long period of time, let's say let's get running related, you know, running specific. You're doing a big race. So I'm doing a rock and roll half marathon. It's packed. Those are always packed. They're very popular races. There's a lot of people. It starts early in the morning. There's a lot of nervous energy. There's a million people around you, both spectators and racers. It's crowded. It's crowded on the course. It's crowded before and after. All the restaurants nearby are crowded. So by the end of the day, and by the time I get back to my hotel or my house, I'm not just tired from the run, I'm just tired of people by that point. It's like, oh, I am done peopling. And, you know, you're just ready to just go back into your little hermit cave and rest for a while. Like I said, not just from the running, but from the people environment. So that's one example. The one thing I want to really emphasize here that gets, I think, misconstrued or misunderstood is that introverts aren't shy. There are a lot of very famous people, very famous CEOs, very successful business people who are introverted. They know how to do their job. They're very good at it. They're very creative, but they are not the extroverted personality. They are not the gregarious one. They're introvert. So an introvert is a personality type, whereas shyness is an emotion. There's a bit of a fear and an anxiety to shyness. So introverts aren't shy. I think that's a really important distinction when we're talking about that. Shy runners, they might skip a social run group. They might skip a race because of nervousness and anxiety or a feeling of awkwardness. Whereas a introverted runner, they might skip a race and not run in social groups, maybe because of just a preference of being alone or being in a small group. So here's some famous introverts. I listed off a couple. So Albert Einstein is the most famous introvert that I think most people know the name of. J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter books, she is also an introvert. Bill Gates is an introvert. Rosa Parks and Michael Jordan. And those were just a couple of the most famous ones I spotted as I was looking around. So runners fall into two camps. Before I do that, let me see if this tea is like too scalding hot. Perfect. Just right. All right. The mug's working. All right. So runners fall into two camps. You've got a solo runners or the social runners. And they cross a little bit, but I think it takes effort on both sides, whether you're a solo runner or a social runner. To cross over to the other realm takes some actual conscious effort. So I'm going to cover solo runners first. Solo runners are introverts. Solo runners sometimes have to run just by necessity on their own. You know, they've got crazy work schedules, they've got family schedules, and it's just a requirement. You know, they have to run all sorts of oddball hours of the day, and there just aren't social running groups for that type of running. But they sometimes have a fear that they run too slow to run in a group. So sometimes the solo runners are actually being held back by fears. Other times it's the other way around. So you get a fast runner and they're worried that they're going to be slowed down by the group. So it's interesting that we have fears on both ends of that speed spectrum. The other fear is that, or not fear, but concern or why you have a solo runner is they're not doing the same type of runs as the group. So maybe the group is doing a lot of track runs and speed work, and they are simply doing their easy runs and they don't want to take part in that type of different training. Another reason is that they might be in training for a specific race. So if you're in training for a specific race, you're probably not going to incorporate a lot of group running for the reason mentioned before. You might be doing different training schedule than the group is. So social runners love the camaraderie of the group. So that's where they find their friend group. That's where they look forward to going during the week, on the weekends, whenever their group meets. They plan races with the members of the group, so they have a common training goal. I was listening to a different podcast this morning, and one of the ladies on there, the guest that they had on there, she said that she found a running group that was going to be doing the training for the same marathon. And it wasn't a local one, it was one farther away, but she wanted to do that one. So she partook in the same running group because everyone was aiming for the same goal. Need the accountability and the motivation. So the social runners oftentimes use the social group as a way of accountability. So they're not the ones to easily set that alarm for 4 or 4:30 a.m. and find themselves up and out the door by 5. But if somebody's waiting for them and saying, hey, I'm going to meet you at this location that you have to get in your car and drive to at a certain hour, they're more likely to do that because they have someone waiting for them. And there's a social element to it once they get there. They like to be a member of the local running group oftentimes. And then they look for run groups when they're traveling. So if you are a social runner, again, you're going to look for that that camaraderie, even if you're going to go out of town. So I see a lot of that on Facebook and different running groups there, where are running, you know, group Facebook groups, where someone will post up, hey, I'm coming to such and such a town. Do you know if there's a run group? You know, during this time, I'll be there, because they want to find a group to run with. There's also a safety in numbers thing too. If you're running in an environment or a location that you're not familiar with, finding a run group could actually be a safety concern too. So there's another good reason for the social running. So the ultimate question, I suppose, if we have one, an ultimate question, is one type of running better than another? Is there a better way to be? Should I be an introverted runner and just always run by myself? Or is extroverted running with groups and, you know, big races always the way to go? And I think the answer, of course, is sort of a mesh of both. So one type of running is definitely not better than the other. Really depends on you, your personality. The elements of each type of running really has its own values and benefits to the individual. And I do think that it's important to incorporate a bit of both in your running. If you're an introvert, as a personal opinion, I don't think it's healthy to 100% always run on your own. I think that there's a lot of value to be gained to running with other people. And I'll go into that, I know, in just a minute. But definitely social runners can benefit, you know, from some solo time also. So if you are that social runner who doesn't want to get up at 4:30 in the morning unless someone's waiting for you, there is a personal benefit to making yourself accountable to yourself and getting up at that 4:30 a.m. time to get your run in maybe before work, because it's you, it's your benefit. So you are the only one benefiting from your run. Nobody's making you run. As I've said before on this podcast, there's no professionals here. We're not getting paid for this. This is our hobby. This is what we do for personal enjoyment and for personal challenges. And so having that discipline for ourselves only improves ourselves. It makes you better in every part of your life, not just your running. Let's see. So socializing. Introverts and socializing, not always something that they want to talk about. But I really think you can't have a conversation about introverts and introverted running without talking about friendships and without talking about socializing. And socializing as adult women is not easy. And I know I'm talking to a lot of women in Facebook groups and other places in my, you know, work environment, and just socializing in general. A lot of women are very social once they get together. You know, a lot of introverted women are social and wonderful people, and very caring and just kind people, but you don't really know that unless you get them in a small group to find that out. And I think it's hard for adult women to find the time to meet new women that are like-minded and to make new friends. It gets a lot harder. You know, when we're, I listened to a podcast or read a book, I don't know, I heard something a while back about adult friendships and making friends and how when we're younger, it's so much easier, but yet if we really look at our life, our friendships come from our environment. So when you're very, very young, preschool age, so you're at home usually, your friends are going to be your family. And then, you know, and maybe there's a, you know, there's friends of friends that come over, but basically you're in the family environment when you're that young. Then you go to school and you're in school for a very long time, you know, kindergarten all the way up through high school, college. And most of your friend group is going to come from your environment, so school. And as you get a little bit older, now we include work. And now your friend group is going to, you know, automatically sort of come from your work group, because those are the people that you're spending the most time with. Those are the people that you're most influenced by and are just in your vicinity. But if you were to draw this like circle diagram, you would find that outside of these environments, you have very few friends. You have very few people. Now, you might have carried them along from where you met them previously, now into your current life. I have friends that I was friends with in elementary school. Actually, I have one very, very good friend who I've known since before I was in school. They live next door, and we're still friends. So I'm actually going to see her later today, as a matter of fact. but, you know, the point is that as we get older, it gets a lot harder to find those friends who share our interests, because you might work with these individuals and you might like them very much, but the chances of them having the same type of running interests that you have, not always real good. So not always really a high chance there. So finding people that share your personal interests, not just have something in common as far as work, is a lot harder as we get older. And then finding the time to have those friends, to meet those individuals. You know, very often we're just busy. We have busy lives. We have family. We have work. We have our, you know, own, you know, personal interests as far as our running is concerned. We got grocery shopping, cooking, blah, blah, blah. Lots of tight schedules. It's hard to find time to spend, to find and develop new friendships. I know a lot of very high-level professional women who are just absolute badasses in their careers. I mean, they are at the top of their game. But when it comes to finding other adult women who share their hobbies, it's not so easy. You know, I see their lives and I can see that most of the people they're spending time with are family or other coworkers or people that they've met through work. And then finding those people again who share outside interests, not so easy. And so some people, they might have had more extroverted tendencies when they were younger, but then as they get older, they just become introverted kind of by default almost. Like that's just sort of the environment that they're now in. So other times, socializing kind of takes a back seat purposely, because a lot of women use their run time as me time. And I know I fall into this category too. This is where, you know, I'm going running because I want to get away from people. I'm done peopling for an hour or two. And so, you know, you take off, you turn off your watch, you set your phone to do not disturb. The only thing you're doing is listening to a podcast or music or something, and you're just by yourself. Or maybe you turn everything off and you go out on a trail run and it's just you and nature. And so that's their me time. That's their time to get away from responsibilities, obligations, family, you know, people wanting you. Another reason why women maybe aren't socializing very much. It's just, again, going back to schedules, their training often just takes place at these oddball extreme hours of the day. You know, they're getting up at the 4:30 in the morning to get their run in so that they can get ready for work, get to work on time, have their work day, you know, come home, take care of the family, kids, cook, blah. You know, or the other direction. And, you know, they have to be at work really early. So they go to work and then they come home and, you know, they're doing their run maybe at 8, 9 o'clock at night. And so they're really taking place at really strange hours of the day where most people aren't getting together. So it's sort of a necessity. Running also gives a sense of power and accomplishment, you know, by attaining these certain training goals. And that doesn't necessarily require a friend or accountability. And they're really, the introverted runner is really getting the value of their running from that sense of power and accomplishment. So they may feel like, I don't need to have that socializing because my purpose for running is self-accomplishment. It's internalized, not externalized. They might also have sporadic training. That goes back to the hours, but they might just be sporadic days. I recently posted up on a Facebook group of other women runners and asked the question just more out of curiosity and asked them, what sort of work do you do and how do you fit in your running? And that question took off. So many ladies jumped in and shared what they do for work. Or, you know, work inside and outside the home, just what they, how they feel their day, basically. So over 100 people responded to that question and chimed in to say how they're feeling their day. And a lot of these ladies had some really crazy, hectic schedules. There were a lot of nurses, I noticed, a lot of women in healthcare, a lot of women in teaching roles, which can be very early hours in teaching. And then there were a number of women who were caretakers to other people, either family members or just in a caretaking role, not necessarily nursing, but caretaking. And their schedules are very full and unpredictable. So, you know, socializing when you have an unpredictable schedule and you can't tell someone to meet you on, you know, Wednesday at 6 every day or every week, you know, that can be hard. And it can certainly be hard to make friends in that environment. So again, going back to introverted environment, you know, just being sort of the nature of your lifestyle at the moment. But anyway, I thought that question was really interesting and I was so intrigued by the answers that I got. So there's some things that I hear from introverted runners when I talk to them. Hold on, got to take a sip of my mug. So what I hear from other What I hear from other introverted runners is that they're around people all day. So I'm going back to the peopling thing. So lots of demands on their time, lots of demands on their attention. So they just want to get away. These are the reasons why some runners choose introverted running as opposed to social running. Running, again, is my me time. I could be alone with my own thoughts. Nobody else's thoughts, just my own. This I hear quite a lot. It's my therapy. It's how I clear my headspace. That's a big one. I see that everywhere on, you know, groups and conversations, you know, that running is my therapy. If I couldn't run, I'd go crazy. Boy, I've got a story on that one. But so they turn off all the notifications and, you know, do not disturb. Turn on a podcast or audiobook. You know, this, again, I got to self-identify with this one here. When I go out on a run, you know, I turn on my headphones for the longest time. So my long runs that I did leading up to my marathon and during the marathon too, I listened to the Harry Potter books, the audiobooks. They were really, really good. It was fun to go back to those stories because I hadn't read them since my son was really little, and I used to read them to him before bed. And so I read all those books when he was little. But to go back and just have the story read to me was really nice. So if you're a Harry Potter fan, the audiobooks are a lot of fun. So the audiobooks were just a great way, and I would only listen to them on my long run. And that was a way to look forward to something on my long run and just kind of tune out and then have some peace. And the only socializing that they get is from smiling and nodding at passing runners on the trail. That's my socializing on long runs too. So the race environment though, race environments are not introverted type environments. It certainly is an environment you think the introverts want to stick themselves in. But again, introverts aren't shy. We got to remember that. Introverts just mean that they have a lot of, like we've been talking about, they have a lot of reasons for being introverted. But a lot of introverts, they get the race day jitters bad, really bad. And I mean, some get the introvert or get the race day jitters so bad that it can just be, you know, too much for them. They may not actually show up. They might just skip it altogether because they're just intimidated, maybe either by intimidated not to register. So like the idea of a race environment freaks them out so much that they just don't want to take place. So they won't sign up. Or if they do sign up, as the date gets closer and closer, they get more and more anxious and nervous about taking part in the race. And that could be for so many reasons. But, you know, it could be because they're fear of their speed. It could be because of the fear of, you know, people are going to look at them or judge them. They don't want to be last. I hear that quite a lot. I don't want to be the last runner. What I say to that is go to a big race. So sign up for a big race if you're worried about being last. The likelihood that you're last is very small. And if you are, then I think you should wear that as a badge of honor personally. So some are just, you know, there's no accountability. There's, you know, they signed up for a race and they don't show up because there's no one there telling them to show up. There's no one that they've signed up with that says, hey, I'm going too. So, you know, that's that social runner, I think, that is like, well, you know, I'm going to, you know, sign up for the race if you do it with me. But the introvert can do the same thing. So, you know, there's always that crossover. And then some are just hesitant to train outside. Some people don't want to run outside. So the idea of a race, you know, obviously you have to run outside if you're at a race. But some are very hesitant to train outside for that race environment. And they'll only train inside on a treadmill in their own house, which you can do. But you're better off if you train in the environment that you're actually going to be running in. So I strongly encourage if you're going to be running a race outside that you train outside. The nature, though, of running, it just doesn't help the whole get out of your shell introvert and personality. The nature of the running sport is just very conducive to the introverted personality type. There's really no need for other people. So I think that's part of the draw of running and endurance sports and endurance running. That's what draws in introverts. Again, going back to the four types of introverts, introverts aren't shy and they're often very high thinking people and creative and driven. I think a lot of introverts are type A personality, and the sport of running attracts that type A personality. So the whole nature of the sport of running was really, you know, perfect environment for an introvert. But it's a choice. You know, really everything always comes down to a choice and a decision. And you can be an introvert and still incorporate socialization into your running. So you don't have to be an introvert in order to be a great runner, and you don't have to be a social runner to be a great runner either. It's absolutely a choice. Here's my opinion. So this is my opinion. Maybe you share it, but I really believe that introverts really should incorporate some extrovert activities. I think that to be a well-rounded, balanced person, it's good to do both. You know, this podcast has really put me outside of my comfort zone when it comes to my introverted personality. Being here on YouTube and talking with you and sharing my personal feelings about running and about life and about plant-based nutrition, which, you know, some people might find controversial. It's definitely not mainstream, right? But I'm talking to one person. I'm talking to someone who shares my views or who is interested in my views. And that's the way I think about it when I do these podcasts, is I'm just talking to one person. You're my friend, and we're chatting about this topic that I have an opinion on. And it's really helped me in my own introverted personality environment to kind of get out of my shell and share those views. And I think the same thing goes for running. And when we get out of our own way and try something new, put ourselves into new situations, it helps us grow as human beings and as a person. And so that's why I think that introverts should incorporate some extrovert activities. I don't think you should try to change who you are. That's fake. that's not realistic. And it'll be out of alignment for you. So I wouldn't recommend that, but incorporating some social running into your introverted running, I think that there's a big value in that. It's good for your soul. It makes you a better human being. And it reminds us that running is fun. It's not all about the training plan. As much as I love a training plan, oh boy, do I love a training plan. I like to make training plans. I like to analyze training plans. I like to create them for other people and help them achieve goals. But in the end, and my number one coaching philosophy is that it has to be fun. And if it's not fun, why are you doing it? Do something else that's fun. If it's not, there's other ways to exercise. There's other ways to stay fit. So remember that running is fun. And I think that doing some extroverted activities like some social running helps remind us that running is fun. We also benefit from learning from other people. So when we're in a group environment, we can find out, you know, how do they train? What are they doing? Are there some things that I can, you know, incorporate that make sense for me that they're doing that maybe I hadn't thought of? You know, we learn from each other. We can also find out about other people's running journeys. I love hearing other people's stories about how they came into running and, you know, how they incorporated into their life, which is why I asked that question on Facebook. I'm just curious. I just want to know about other people. And then tips on gear. I love running gear. I love running shoes. You know, I'm a runner. I love my shoes. Fueling, you know, what are some tips on some fueling? And, you know, just general life interests, just people, you know, finding out about others. I think there's a lot to be had for that. It also mixes up the training and it gives you something to look forward to. You know, if you know you're going to be a part of a group on the weekend, it gives you something to look forward to during the week when you're running on your own. So you're kind of mixing in the two. Most of your runs are still probably going to be on your own. Because again, going back to the reasons that a lot of runners are introverted runners, scheduling, you know, you're not going to get away from that. But maybe if you can find time to fit in small amounts of social running, then I think that that's enough, at least to start with, and just help start incorporating it. And it really keeps the mind engaged. You know, if you, you know, you're adding variety to your training, so most of your runs are going to be alone. But then if you know you're looking forward to something on the weekend when you're going to run with someone else, it keeps that mind engaged as you're running alone. You're thinking about, oh, Saturday, I'm going to be running with so-and-so. I'll have to ask them about, you know, this thing or that thing. You know, I had this little this question about my running form, I'll bet you, you know, Janet will have the answer, you know, or give me an idea and I'll ask her on Saturday. You know, it keeps your mind busy. And then, of course, there's camaraderie with like-minded women who share your interests. Going back to, you know, this is not a group of women that you know through work. This is not a group of people that you've met through school. These are specifically people that share your hobby interests. And that's where I find the biggest value is making friendships as an adult woman, an adult busy woman, and putting yourself in situations where you already know you have something in common with someone. So before I click over here to the next last slide, I just want to say that I have been giving thought to this new program, and I know I've announced it on other previous podcasts, you know, sign up for the wait list for the group run. But I am very excited about this group run program that I've developed. And I really hope you are too. So the big announcement is the Bashful Badass Virtual Run Club is coming to town. And the fun part about this is you do not have to be local. So the idea of this group is it's going to be very small. This is in the beta test group. So that means that it's not fully launched yet. The only place I'm announcing it right now is on the podcast. So you are the first to know about this. It's going to be a really small group. I'm thinking no more than six women in the group for just a 6-week program to try it out. And the cornerstone of the club is a weekly virtual conversational pace run that we will do through some sort of streaming service like Zoom or Teams or something like that. You won't have to have video. We'll work out the details of it. But the idea is that we will get together as a group. This is a non-competitive group. You're running on your own. So we're kind of incorporating the two. We're incorporating the solo run and the social run at the same time because of the benefits of both. Number one, your scheduling, and number two, the social aspect. We will put a time together because the idea is that we're all together at the same time. And you can run from anywhere in the world. You can do a treadmill, you can do it outside, whatever you want. You can run at that time. This is really aiming for women who want to do conversational pace run so we could talk to each other. It will help you stay in zone two, and that, which is a big challenge for runners. That is like the hardest part is how do I know if I'm conversational? I'm running alone. I'm a solo runner. And you try to talk to yourself. It's just kind of weird. And it doesn't always work either. So this will help keep you in that conversational pace, building mitochondria, building endurance. It's really meant to be in between training programs. So if you are in the middle of training for a race, probably not the time to join the beta group. This is really for a 6-week time frame that you aren't training for a big race, where you want to take part in more of a social group, doing conversational easy pace runs during that run. And this is the time to get in on the ground floor. This program is in the beta group. It'll go up in price. Right now, it's going to stay low. I don't have a price for it just yet, but it'll be somewhere, you know, in a reasonable amount. And then you get to lock in your price. So whatever you come in at, when I put this group together, if you come in and you're one of the beta group individuals, you get to keep that price as long as you continue to stay in the program whenever it's announced. So you get the benefit of helping me put the program together and establish it and take out some of the tweaks and kinks that I'm sure will come with a brand new program. So if you want to get on the wait list, you can click the link in the show notes or just go over to Instagram and send me a direct message to running.on.carbs. Just send me the word bashful and I'll send you the link so you can sign up for the wait list. And then once I have those finalized details, I'll send them to you. And if you're one of the first six to sign up in our six group six-person group, then you get to lock everything in. And you will be the first to be in the Bashful Badass Virtual Run Club. So looking really forward to that. I'm excited about it because as an introverted runner myself, to be with another group of people during this, you know, kind of hybrid run club. I've seen other run clubs where they, you know, kind of track your time and things like that. I don't want to do all that. We all run at different times, but we all should be running at conversational pace. And that is a key thing that a lot of women are going too fast and they are not staying in that zone. So if that is a challenge for you and you have trouble staying in that zone, this could be a really good program for you to teach you how to find that conversational zone for yourself. And you can practice that with the group every week for 6 weeks. So anyway, there's our episode today. I am so glad that you joined me today. And I'll put that slide back up so that if you still need the info, you can get it if you're on YouTube. Otherwise, the show notes have it. And I will see you on the next episode of Running on Carbs podcast. I am Coach Val, and I'm here to say run your best life ever on carbs. See you next time.